13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit to you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. And even things without life giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. But in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. I want to comment just a little bit on this. Maybe you wonder why, but it's the word of the Lord. And I have at times preached on it, commented on it, and it's necessary for us to do this. First of all, I made the statement not too long ago that we get into a rut somehow or another. We listen to what someone says or some doctrine that has been given forth, and we don't go to the word of the Lord, and we just get ourselves in a terrible mess. One of the things that we get into is that we hear different ones minister. We hear a minister about different things, and we're told, of course, that unless they say it, we can't say it. That's one thing that we need to remember is wrong. If Brother Pike never says it, if any other man never says it, if God says it to you, it's still right. And whether God says it to Brother Pike today and to you yesterday or the day before, what God has said unto you is still right. It is a true fact that you do have a pastor. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers set in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And it is as to the ministers or to the ministry. It does not mean that a woman is set there. A woman is positively not found in the fivefold ministry. It doesn't matter who tells you that she is not. The Bible said, let your ministers be the husband of one wife. That is impossible for a woman to do. So, in the ministry, you do not have women ministers as the fivefold ministry. People use frivolous things like saying that Peter's wife's mother or someone rose up and ministered unto them, whereas they got up and baked a batch of biscuits or cooked something for them to eat, you know, and ministered unto them as to their needs, not in anything as pertaining to the ministry. And some of them used the things like Mary was the down at the grave and she was the first woman to go preach. Whereas it says nothing about Mary preaching. She only went back and said something about the Lord not being in the grave, that he had risen. Now, if that's preaching, then everybody everywhere is a preacher, because I guess practically everybody believes that he's rose from the dead, or they say something about it. So we find again error. And we find the church world is filled with error. Then we find that they say there's no more prophets. No more prophets. You say, now, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Paul said, the things that I am saying unto you are the commandments of God Almighty. I'm sent from God Almighty to tell you that all of that other is devilish and it is heresies. And it will doom and damn your soul because it does not minister faith, because it is not the Word of God. But what I'm telling you is the Word of God, and to believe it is to have faith, and to have faith is to be saved. For by this faith, God sends His Spirit in your heart, into your heart to purify it. If you believe something else, then you are turned over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. They tell you there's no more prophets. After Calvary, there's no more prophets. Some don't really believe that because some believe that the great man William Branham was a prophet. And they accept that to the extent they say he was a prophet. Some say he wasn't a prophet. Some say he has a gift or had a gift. Some say that he didn't have a gift. But even with that, some then decided that he was a prophet, but no more prophets. As though Brother Branham taught that, whereas that again is error because he didn't even teach that. And had he taught that, he would have been in error because there's no such Bible. He did speak of major prophets, of two major prophets not being on the scene at the same time. As to what he meant, I think I understand. But to wait until the prophet says it, before you can say it, is heresy and foolishness. The Bible says that God hath in time past, that is before Calvary, spoke to us by the prophets in divers manners, which means different manners, and at sundry times he has spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus. This Bible that I have before me, it was written by men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or inspired by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they wrote this that way, and it must be interpreted the same way. For the Bible said the scripture is of no private interpretation. So, we see that in this Bible, especially the New Testament, that God is speaking unto us by His Son. Whereas some would say, well, in the Old Testament He isn't, Brother Pike. Jesus said, all of the scriptures of the Old Testament witness of my coming. And Peter speaking, looking back, said it was the Holy Ghost speaking in the prophets or speaking to the prophets and signifying that at such time Jesus would come on the scene. Whereas in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So then it was Christ, but not as a personification as to sonship, in that there had never been a body made at that time other than in the foreknowledge of God, where Jesus spoke of sharing these wonderful things with the Heavenly Father before the world ever was. So we see that the Bible, especially the New Testament, is God speaking to us by His Son. Though He is speaking to us in the Old Testament by the prophets, as the Spirit of Christ signified, but yet in the New Testament He is speaking to us by His Son. So these words are the Son of God's words. You do not have to wait till a prophet tells you that. You do not have to wait till a preacher tells you that. All you've got to do is read it for yourself. And the Bible said, go to God that giveth to all men freely. If we seek, we find. If we knock, it's open unto us. So then we see that all of that kind of talk that's been going on is foolishness and it is error to cause us to error. And cause us to miss the way and words of God. There is prophets, as there was Agabus. And there is prophets, as it says here in the New Testament, as to the order of the church. Let the prophets, which is in the plural, more than one. Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the others judge. That there can be at least two or three prophets in the church. There could be a dozen prophets in the church. But it said, let them speak here. Let the prophet speak two or three. Now he tells us that two or three would be sufficient for a service. You don't need all the prophets speaking in the service if you had seven or eight. He said two or three of them are sufficient to get over the Word of God or to bring to you what the Spirit is trying to tell you. Let the rest of the congregation judge as these things are spoken. Then he said, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. When he said, for ye may all prophesy one by one, does he then mean all of the prophets? No. It doesn't mean all of the prophets. He means all of you. Me, the pastor, all of the congregation. That is, as to those that are allowed to speak in the church. Who are they? How do I know that this is what he is saying? Because a little before this, I read it to you, where he said, I would that ye prophesy. Does that make you a prophet? No. But prophesying is the gift of prophecy. So then, that ye may all prophesy. Or that is, that all of you may speak and say, wait, the Lord just spoke to me. He just told me something. Let me contribute this to the congregation. For I heard him say thus. And the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of the Lord. It is Christ on the inside of you testifying. Whereas Christ is the Holy Ghost showing you things that will come. And Christ may speak within you as a member of the body of the church. He may bring something to your mind. The other night I was preaching, I was talking, and we don't have to live perfect in every way for God to speak to us, but we should live perfect in every way. For if we're not trying to live perfect in every way, we couldn't possibly be God's child. But in trying to live perfect, many times we stumble, but God still speaks to us. His grace makes up for our lack. The other night when I was speaking, I said something, I had seen a vision, and then God spoke to Sister Betty, and she prophesied, and said, the Lord said thus and thus. I checked it out with the scripture, with the vision. From all evidence, it was her prophesying, and God had said exactly that. All right, now, she didn't jump up and say, yea, thus saith the Lord. She didn't do that. She just wrote it down on a piece of paper and she sent it up here to me. All right, so then, what is the Lord saying? He's trying to explain something to us, and that is the order of the church. Should we just come together shouting and hollering and clapping our hands and singing? Is that all there is to the order of the church? See, he says the order of the church is that we should have a psalm. Or that is some kind of a song or praise unto God when we come together. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And he said we should have a doctrine. Whereas I tell you again, people who say that I don't preach doctrine is of the devil. It said when you come together, you should have a doctrine. That is part of God's word. That is God's order of the church. The man that says he doesn't preach doctrine, he doesn't have any business up there trying to preach anything, because there's nothing else to preach but doctrine. So you're supposed to have a doctrine. Then it says half the tongue. Now, on this, I'd like to elaborate just a minute or two in talking with you. See, have a tongue. I understand, and whether these things are true or not, I don't know. They're just hearsays. From what I understand, they are true, and I'm saying it on the strength of the fact that it was brought to me as true. Like as I heard the other day concerning Jerry Falwell, who seems to be a great man, a mighty man. It's been on television, radio for years. I met him over in Virginia. He seemed to be a very nice fellow. But I understand that one of the Goodmans, whatever her name is, Vester, is it? Vester Goodman, the singer of the Goodman Quartet, began to speak in tongues, maybe on PTL or whatever it was. And in doing that Jerry Falwell had her barred from the staff and would not let her come on. And of course, I think she might have lost her temper or said something or whatever it was. I think they said she called him a devil and all kind of things, and a thief. And when the papers interviewed her about this, Jerry demanding an apology, she said, I cannot apologize for the Holy Ghost. Now, this is my conviction. I know that you may speak in all kind of tongues, and it may not be the Holy Ghost. And you might need to apologize. But if you're speaking in tongues, you don't need to apologize. See, a person that forbids to speak with tongues is out of order. If Jerry Falwell forbidded her to speak with tongues, he was out of order. Being a minister, he should have known better than that. Because Paul emphatically states that we are not to forbid. He says in the 39th verse of the 14th chapter, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. He should have known better than that as a minister. He disqualified himself as a minister of the gospel to say that. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, but if they be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Now, a lot of people take the outlook that there is no tongues in the church. that you should not speak in tongues. That God says in the church you should speak in a language that can be understood. Like as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 5th verse. I would that ye all spake with tongues. Then what is Paul saying as the overseer to the Gentile church? He talked like every one of us need to be able to speak in tongues, including Mr. Falwell. And also as it was with Billy Graham that made the statement against Pat Robinson that God did not speak to men today. And that when he spoke of tongues, that was altogether ignorance. But you see, Billy was the one that was ignorant. Amen. Billy disqualified himself as a minister because the Bible said, I would that ye all speak with tongues. Paul said, what? What? He said. As though he might have got an answer back or might have perceived somebody's spirit. He said, what? What is this Billy Graham? What is this Jerry Falwell? What? If you think yourself to be a preacher or spiritual, you better acknowledge I'm the overseer to the church and what I say is the commandments of the Lord. And if you're to be qualified, you're to listen to what I say. People don't have to listen to what you say, but you have to listen to what I say. So then he says here, a man speaking in tongues, is it of any value? He says, of course. The man is edifying himself in the spirit. Should a man then speak with tongues? I would that you all speak with tongues. Well, what about you, Paul? He said, well, I speak with tongues more than ye all. He said, now I don't do it in the church. You know, praying, seeking God, this is edifying myself. I'm building up my faith in Christ. Praying in tongues. More than ye all, I speak in tongues. I get carried away, he could have said. Then he says, but in the church, he said, if you're going to speak in tongues, you need an interpreter. Or you need to pray that you can interpret. Because you're not doing any good in the church. You're edifying your own spirit, therefore just meditate and talk to God under a low voice and continue to praise God in tongues. But don't speak out unless you're going to interpret. Because it would only be confusing to the people. They wouldn't know what you were saying. I'd rather that you'd prophesy, he said. So that people could understand. And they would see that you was revealing the thoughts of their heart. Because it would be the Spirit speaking. And they'd fall down on their face and give themselves to God. So if you're going to speak in tongues, he said, then interpret. Now if you interpret, then you're edifying the church. It's perfectly in order. Should it be in the church then? Paul says, I would that ye prophesy. You know, should I then lay aside tongues and say, well, praise God, I've got the leading of God. We ain't have no tongue speaking in here. We're going to prophesy. If that was what he meant, why did he then later, when he gave the order of the church, he said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue? Why did he put that as part of the order of the church? He was saying that if we're going to have an interpreter, we should have tongues. Because that is also the Spirit of God speaking to the edification of the people. But he said, tongues is not tongues. That is without interpretation now. Tongues is not to the believer. Prophecy is to the believer because the believer can understand what you're saying. But tongues is to the unbeliever. So then you are amazing the people out yonder. Like on the day of Pentecost when they all come together and they were speaking in tongues. And people were literally shocked. See, but when you're going to edify, then you must prophesy. So then greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now I said the other day, we say that the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. If that is true, then he that prophesieth hath a greater portion of the Holy Ghost. Because he said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Is a man therefore that's prophesying greater than the infilling of the Holy Ghost or a man receiving the Holy Ghost? Of course not. Then what does that mean? It simply means that the Pentecostal teachings of the baptism of the Holy Ghost as evidence of speaking in tongues, calling that an initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that they are wrong, that they're mixed up. There is no such thing. There is definitely no such thing as an initial evidence of speaking in tongues as the proof that you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I say that to my audience. I say that to whoever listens to me. I say that to people throughout the world. And I challenge anybody in the world to give me one scripture for what they teach as initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They don't have one scripture, not even one. And yet they built a great empire of religion on it. The Bible said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." Somebody said, "Well, you mean I don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike?" I say that a person with the Holy Ghost can speak in tongues, can prophesy, can lay hands on the sick, can bring healing, can have the gift of faith, can have the gift of wisdom, can have the gift of all the gifts of the Spirit, and have charity. So then a person that's got the Holy Ghost, can they speak in tongues? Of course they can. The Bible said, "I would that ye all prophesy." He was simply saying, why do all of you speak in tongues? Because he comes in one place, he said, you come together, all of ye are speaking with tongues. That means all of you could speak with tongues. All of you should speak with tongues. All of you should have the experience. Then somebody says, is that the proof of my baptism of the Holy Ghost? Certainly not. It is a proof, if it's real Holy Ghost tongues, it is a proof of the Holy Ghost being within you, but so is prophesying. At the upper coast of Ephesus, Paul laid hands on them. The Bible said they received the Holy Ghost and they prophesied and spake in tongues. So he said, when all of you come together speaking in tongues, which means all of you can speak in tongues. So we can see that Paul isn't speaking against tongues, nor is he saying take it out of the church. And he warns you not to forbid to speak with tongues, because that's the act of God and the edifying of the spirit of man. And he tells you not to do that. And all of these people that get off on a tangent, that they go into these doctrines and different things about not speaking in tongues, and some running off speaking about prophesying, and all these other things, they get all mixed up. They get all messed up in their minds. They get away from the Word of God, and they take, thus saith the Lord is this, but they don't take line upon line and precept upon precept, or as Jesus said to Lucifer, it is also written. See, and they get everything all messed up. Paul was simply saying this. The trumpet's got to give a certain sound, or who knows whether or not they go to battle. You got to know reveille from anything else. You got to understand taps, as we say in the army. You got to understand what it means, the different sounds, as to go to bed or get up, or as to reverence. So then he said, unless you can speak words by the tongues, it's easy to be understood. You're going to speak in the air. It's going to be a mystery. Nobody will understand that. He said, the harp, got to give a distinction of sound, or you won't know what's piped or harped. Said, you got to speak by revelation, which we speak to you a lot of times by revelation. Paul said to pray that God would give you the spirit of revelation. This is one of the things that's supposed to be in the church, is a revelation. So he said, speak, lest you speak by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. One of those four things. He said, lest the preacher preaches to you by revelation, or unless he preaches to you by doctrine. Unless he preaches to you by prophesying. Unless he preaches to you by knowledge, you're not going to understand any of it. So he says here that tongues is for a personal benefit. And the reason I rather you prophesy is because that is for your brother's benefit. And that's what it's all about. It's to reach your brother. So he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. That is, I edify myself when I'm by myself. Or if I'm going to speak, I meditate in the laws of the Lord, and that day and night. So he goes on to say that if there's not an interpreter to speak to yourself and God, just stay silent. Don't jump up and start speaking in tongues unless you can interpret, or there is an interpreter. And he said, when you're prophesying, let it be one by one, not two or three at one time. God's not the author of confusion. Just let one or two of them prophesy. Now he is speaking of the prophets, not of the prophetess. Can a person then be a prophetess? It doesn't give any record of a prophetess in the New Testament. It does in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament. But it does say that Philip had daughters that prophesied, which means it does allow the woman to prophesy just like the man to prophesy. But it doesn't allow her to prophesy in the church, so far as jumping up and speaking in church. But rather as it was with Sister Betty the other night. It said, let your women keep silent in the church. Let the prophets take leadership in the church. And let them speak. If there's any prophesying to be done, let them do the prophesying. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. In the law, they were taught to be under obedience. In the New Testament, it isn't changed. When it said that the woman was in the transgression in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it isn't changed. It still says she was found in the transgression, therefore she should be under obedience. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, isn't that respect a person with God? The Bible said God is no respect a person. In the Spirit, there's neither male nor female. Somebody said, well, that's why I preach. I've had them to tell me those things or speak of those things. Because in the Spirit, I'm in the Spirit. You know, I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. That is true. The Bible said we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells within you. I've preached that for years. I believe that. See that we are in the Spirit. But now on the other hand, it says for us not to so much to eat as to eat with a person that is called a brother if they be a fornicator. And the same thing would apply to a sister if she be a harlot. How is that? If I'm in the Spirit, what difference does it make? See, Paul explains it. When we are told to come out from among them and be a separate people, and we're told not to fellowship one that says he is a believer, if he be ugly, or he be out of sorts, when we are told to do these things, he said you must come out from among them. You must come out of the world. And then Paul explains it. He said, I do not say as to the fornicators of the world, but if one be called a brother. For he said, if you have to come out from the fornicators of the world, then would you have to leave the world? He said, you can't do that. You're still walking in the world, he said. You're still living in the world. So then if you are in the Spirit, then why are you still living in the world, as Paul said? See, so you've got to understand what he is saying. Your bodily presence is still here. You look at me and I look at you. I speak to you and you speak to me. So your bodily presence is here. So you cannot say as the woman does, I am a preacher because I am in the Spirit and there's neither male nor female. Because she is a woman. If she is not a woman, why does she seek marriage with a man? If she's in the Spirit, what is she looking for a man for? There's nothing said in the Spirit about finding a man. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, Paul said concerning that, it's good for man not to touch woman. And he said concerning the man, he said, it's better if you don't marry. He said, if you do marry, he said, it's all right, you've not sinned. But he said, it's better that you remain as I and not marry. That way you don't have the cares of life. You can just give your mind continually to God. So then why is the woman, even the preacher, so hard down after a man if she's in the Spirit? Something don't add up about that. See, so when it says for the woman to keep silent, the woman could say, well, when I'm in church, I'm in the Spirit. Why should I then keep silent? Now, it's a good question. You need to ask God about it. He was the one that said for you to do it. Somebody said, well, I know, but we're living in a modern day and you can't preach them kind of things and them's the kind of things, Brother Pike, you just have to pass over and everybody in the Pentecostal world, well, we just don't do that. That's just yesterday. And besides that, nobody understands that kind of thing. It don't mean that anyway. But that's not it at all. It's just that we have willfully passed it, willfully been ignorant, willfully done what we wanted to do, and made a willful mess out of the church because it's very easily to be understood. He that God sendeth will speak it because it is God's word. Now, like I've said, at times, say I was a woman and I come to you tonight or this evening and I say, I have been called to preach. Everybody says, well, praise the Lord. I say, and my text is right here. I'm going to read you my text. My text is, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I am your minister. I've come to preach the word of God to you. Amen. You love the Lord? You see, that one thing stops it, folks, right there. For the Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. That's part of the counsel. He said, and let them acknowledge these things are the commandments of God. It does not put the woman under bondage. It does not make her any less than the man. It does not make God think any less of her. But here is what he is saying. Though in the spirit, as to your new birth, coming from the Old Testament over to the New Testament, there is a difference in the woman, in that that woman, as a Christian, are born again, is no different from the man. She is no longer under the curse as the barren children, neither is the man under the curse of having to labor among the thorns as being in the spirit or doing the things of God or as sons of God. That is now taken away, and someday they will reap the benefits of it. And if they can believe as to what measure of faith they have in this age, they can reap the benefits of it. That the woman is just like the man in the sight of God. Now, he doesn't see female and male anymore when it comes to the woman and man as the salvation. Neither is the woman under the man anymore as to his rule. When it comes to salvation, she's free in the spirit to do anything that she wants to do as pertaining to righteousness. And righteousness is outlined by the word of God. Nothing above, nothing below, nothing around the word of God. She is controlled by the word of God. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and by that she is saved. So then the woman has just as much place with God as the man, just as much love. In heaven we're all as the angels. There is no reproduction. In the spirit that is in your angelic being, which is in the spirit of God, the presence of God, which is in heaven, there is no reproduction. There is no multiplying. There is no difference between male and female because there is no male and female. It's only an earthly instigation to multiply and replenish the earth that God may have sufficient bodies as life to dwell in. And that's all there is to it. So the woman hath her place in God. She hath her rights in God. She doesn't have to be smothered out by some man or someone that raises himself up as something special. To be honestly frank with you, I have seen women that was 10 times better than some men, that God would have had more respect for in a minute than he would 100 years for the man, because the man was in such condition. But on the other hand, I have seen it reverse as to the man and the woman, and the respect was unto the man. But I'm trying to explain something to you to where you won't be in the wilderness and you won't be in the dark. And you won't be like a fox that runs around after his tail. But you won't be in a wilderness wandering, guessing, and won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine when somebody comes along and they've got a ministry and they shout and they holler and they push and they shove and they tell you all kind of things and reveal seemingly all kind of great revelations to you. I'm simply establishing you on the Word. Jesus said, the wise man dug down deep. He built his house upon the rock. And when the winds of contrary doctrines came, it was obvious that it was not blown over. But the frivolous person builds their house on experiences of shouting and hollering, believing everything that comes along, of the sifting thin sands of theology, and the first good huff and puff of the wind, and the building goes down. And the Bible said the fall of that house is great. So then, I'm preaching you the Word. I'm telling you the principal root of salvation and eternal life and godliness is charity. And from this comes faith, for faith works by love, and from that comes the gifts. And from the gifts comes the experiences, as to whether it be one in prophecy or tongues or divine deliverance or whatever it might be, and that you do have in the church, in the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, these kind of things. I'm telling you that you do have it. You do have a fivefold ministry. You do have prophets. You do have apostles. You do have these things. God chose 12 apostles. 12 apostles was to be the foundations of the city. Other foundations can no man lay. Jesus chose these 12 as chief leaders. So then, it is obvious that of the prophets, there are also some that come out as leaders. For there's 24 kings, 24 elders that is seated around the throne at the coming of the Lord. And then there are kings throughout the earth. For the Bible said God had appointed the 12 apostles a kingdom, and said, ye shall sit on thrones as kings, judging the tribes of Israel. And there are also other kings. For the Bible said God hath made us unto our God kings and priests, that we should rule and reign upon the earth. And the Bible says concerning these kings, over 10 cities or 5 cities, the Bible said, and these kings shall bring their glory into this beautiful city and shall cast their crowns down at his feet to let us know that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We that preach to you and we that do these things, people that labor, like Brother Atlee and some of the others that are continually working while others just kind of, they walk around, you know, and they eat and they drink and they stay at home and they do what they want to. Do you think the other people that are having their convenience is going to be equal to men like Atlee Beecher? Of course not. If they do, then the Scripture is broken, and the Bible teaches that the Scriptures cannot be broken. For the Bible said God will reward every person according to their works. It's according to your work. Somebody said, well, I work out yonder, and I don't have time to work over here. Nobody's complaining about it, but the only thing is you're getting your reward out yonder with your paycheck and the praise of men, while they that work over here is getting their reward in heaven and the praise of God. And that the Bible said, hire them, put them into the vineyard, and I'll pay them. You shouldn't complain about it. If we don't complain about you, then you don't complain about us. You made your choice. Martha, Martha, thou art comforted about a lot of things, but Mary has chosen the better part. Be good if you listen to me and what I'm talking about. Then you can talk about what you want to talk about if you leave, sonny boy. Y'all got a conversation going. You've had it ever since I started. That's what causes you to almost lose your life, is your conduct that's wrong in church. The Bible should rebuke openly that others might fear and not do that. All right. So then we understand that there is no difference between the man and the woman. There is no difference when it comes to God's benefits. But there is very definitely a difference between man and woman in the earth Whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian. Someone would say, prove it. All right, let's prove it. When I got ready for marriage, I never looked for a man. I looked for a woman. When my wife got ready for marriage, she never looked for a woman, she looked for a man. If there's no difference, why didn't she just take the first thing that come along? What difference does it make? Man or woman, that's about the way they do today. You say, well, Brother Pike, that would be ignorance. You know, not to understand that. I believe so. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So I'm trying to tell you there's a difference between man and woman. When the Bible said, let your minister be the husband of one wife, that there's a difference when you talk about male and female in the spirit. And many other things that we have said that's on tape concerning these things, going about it in detail. Many other things we've said, such as, does a man want a woman to rule his house? Someone would say, of course not. She's not going to rule my house. But then what about the house of God? Is it of less importance than your house? The Bible said if a man don't know how to rule his house, how can he rule the church of the living God? If you don't think that she is capable of ruling your home, why do you think she's capable of getting up behind the sacred desk and everybody listening to her and she rules God's house? Somebody would say, well, that's ignorance, Brother Pye. I agree with you. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So we're not planning to do those things. Now, all right, it's like some of the Pentecostal churches. They rest the scriptures, like Peter said, Paul's teachings to their own destruction. Let me show you one of them, they rest to their own destruction. A woman should have long hair. The Bible said because of the angel, she should have long hair. Power on her head. What does that mean, power on her head? It means that a woman's hair is her glory, and the glory is her power. Because it is glory that is power. Jesus appeared in glory. And the Bible said the hope of that power, of that glory, is Christ within you. She should have long hair. Now, I know in our day, we got people even in the Pentecostal ranks that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And by the way, I might say this, if this is boring to you and not interesting to you, you might ease on out so that I can talk to the ones that's interested. So, we've got them that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What do they do, Brother Pike? They let the hair grow down so long they can sit on it, and they move the dresses up so high that they're indecent with every step they take. Instead of having long dresses, they have long hair. I saw a woman the other day, and her hair was almost as long as her dress, which was just barely below her knees. But I have known of women that hair was as long as their dress when they wore them down to their ankles. See, but which is more important, to wear their hair long and to go half naked, or to be fully covered and wear their hair a little shorter? Somebody said, well, neither one. Neither one to the extent that the Bible said, let the woman have long hair. Now somebody said, well, you said cut it a little shorter, Brother Pike. The Bible doesn't speak about cutting the hair. There's nothing that says a woman has to keep her hair and never cut her hair. So I don't preach it because it's not the word. Then if she cuts it a little shorter, you use the term short. Isn't her hair short? No, it depends on the term that you're using. I can say her hair is longer than your hair, or her hair is shorter than your hair. But her hair, if I say your hair is shorter than her hair, or her hair longer than your hair, I'm making a comparison with two people, but what if the third party comes along? I can say her hair is shorter than your hair, but it's longer than her hair. Now I'm talking about being long. You said I said short. Now tell me what's meant by being long then. Because I'm using the same woman. I'm talking about the same her. So you see, it's foolishness when people strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The woman can still have long hair, but it may not be down as long as somebody else's hair. Someone will say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then let me say this. The woman I saw the other day, her hair was way down here, way down almost to the bottom of her dress. Is your hair down there? Of course not. Then that means you must have short hair. You need to do something about it. So it's not as ignorant as it sounds, is it? All right, so men differ in gifts. We have to understand what is right and what is wrong. Somebody said, well, how long is long and how short is short? It depends on what you're talking about. I say to Brother Taylor, Brother Taylor, did you work all week? He said, no. He would say to me, I had a short week. You understand what I'm saying? Make a comparison to that throughout eternity, which is short and which is long. I could say, well, not eternity, just 10 million years. Whew, Brother Taylor says that's a long time. I'd say, no, I had a short one there. We're supposed to go throughout eternity. How do you understand what I'm saying? If you're talking about a little Austin out here, or a little bitty car out here, or you're talking about a big car, or you're talking about an elephant, or you're talking about a lion, it depends on what you're talking about as making application to him as to whether it's long or whether it's short. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so then you strain at a net. Jesus said, blind guides, leaders of the blind, they strain at a net, swallow a camel, they all fall into the ditch. Now, somebody said, every liar shall have his part in the lake of fire. And here Jesus is going around not telling the truth. Talking about swallowing a camel. Well, anybody's got enough sense to know better than that. But at the same time, he said, go tell that fox. Somebody said, well, it seemed like he could have told the difference between a fox and a man. But see, folks, you strain at a net, you swallow a camel, you blame somebody with something, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand their terms of expression. Somebody said, well, do you believe, Brother Pike, a man could swallow a camel? I believe he could swallow the camel, the tail, and everything, if Jesus said he could. Like somebody said something about the whale swallowing Jonah, said, I believe it. And if he had said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed that. So he did turn around and he said that the whale swallowed Jonah. Then he spoke of the other swallowing the camel. So I believe that too. Brother Branham used to say six of one, half a dozen of the other. God said it, I believe it. Now I might have to talk to him to find out how that a man swallows a camel. But, you know, there's a way. Bound to be a way. If you didn't do nothing but use the pygmy's system to where they shrink heads, today scientists still can't figure it out. How did they take a head and they shrink it down? You know, he might get the camel small enough and just swallow him down like a pill, you know. But at any rate, God can do it. Ever how he does it, he can do it. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. I wanted to say this to you folks tonight, a few little things here for this reason. I think that men like Billy Graham and men like Jerry Falwell, and not only these two, but hundreds of others and thousands of others that say these things concerning tongues, they are ignorant. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And they're on dangerous ground and they do not have the right to the ministry. If Billy Graham, if that is his conviction, he is not a minister of the gospel. I am a minister of the gospel, and I declare before God and before man that he is not a minister of the gospel. He's an imposter. And I declare that Jerry Falwell, if that is his conviction against tongues, he is not a minister of the gospel. He is an imposter. And I also say that every other individual throughout the world that would take a stand contrary to God's word and teach those things that we spoke of tonight, whatever it would be that would be contrary, are imposters, and they are not preachers of the gospel and ministers of the gospel, but they're children of ignorance, which means children of darkness, and they are creating problems through the world, and they are making proselyte twofold more the child of hell. And God's wrath one day will be poured out upon them. So, I tell you these things If they are not right, then I ask you in my service at certain times to stand up or to raise your hand that you would like to speak up and prove me wrong and give me the scripture that shows that I am wrong or prove that I am wrong. And if you cannot do that, then you need to receive what I say. All right. Do you understand? Of course you do. Somebody said, well, you don't know whether we do or not. Yes, I go by the Bible. The Bible said the righteous shall understand. So you understand if you are righteous. If you do not understand that this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. So then Satan has blinded their eyes of understanding. You cannot understand because the god of this world, even Lucifer, blinds you, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh, and ye are not of the righteous. Then why do I preach to you, someone would say? Because the gospel must be preached to every creature. Not to bring every creature salvation, but only them that is ordained unto eternal life receive salvation. But that every creature may be guilty before God, because they have heard the mind and will and way of God, and they did not obey, and they did not honor, and they rashed the scriptures to their own destruction. These are the teachings of Paul. Peter said, and some rashed these scriptures to their own destruction. These are some of the things that the people of today wrestle with, and they rash these things to their own destruction, because they misinterpret them, they misunderstand them, because they are to be spiritually discerned. And so then they rash these things to their own destruction, and they are lost. All right. Now someone would say, that's good, now we've heard all we want to hear. All right. You've heard all that you want to hear of that sermon. We can start another sermon now. No, we're not going to start another sermon tonight. We'll save that for another time. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things that, like tonight, I would like to just break loose and preach to you, because preachers just love to preach. But I thought tonight that I needed to just talk with you a few minutes about these things. And once in a while, some of the subjects as to marriage, as to tongues, as to baptism, as to the Godhead, as to the many other things that the Word of God speaks to you, as to the resurrection and whatever, I would love to take time just to talk with you a few minutes. Just to try to share a few things with you. Because I want you to have a good understanding. You're my spiritual children in the gospel, and I want you to have a real good understanding of all of these things. I want you to know what's right and what's wrong. And when somebody comes along with a contrary word of doctrine that's not the Word of God, then I want you to just soberly, without fear, without frustration, without getting upset, not having to get all tore up because he's got you on the spot, just soberly look at him. Every time he says something and said, but it is also written. It is also written. Until Satan will turn and go his way. And stop quoting the scripture to you. So this is the way it is, folks. We need tongues. Or we then advance to the place to where we're trying to get rid of tongues. And now we're the modern church and we don't have to have tongues anymore. And that's old fashioned and that's out of date. And we don't want to be called holy rollers, you know, speaking in tongues. No, I'm afraid you're going to be called holy rollers right on, if that's the title they're going to give you. Because tongues is going to stay in the church. It's part of the church order. And it's going to stay in the church. And somebody's going to speak in tongues. And if it's nobody else, if I'm around, I'm going to be one of the somebodies. And besides that, God has given me interpretation so I can do it without problems. Same way with prophesying. Despise not prophesying. If you get to the place to where you say we're so advanced that God don't speak to His people anymore, then that is a display of your ignorance, because God certainly does, and even more than He ever has, as to a greater variety of things as to people. So, God does speak to us. And the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. As Billy Graham said, according to the report, that God don't speak to nobody except by His Word. I agree, but not the way Billy said it. He was speaking, obviously, of the printed page. And we've got to remember that the Spirit did not come from the printed page. The printed page come from the Spirit. Before there's ever a printed page, there was a Spirit. So God spoke to His people to write this printed page. I thank God for the printed page. Write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. I am one that believes in paperwork for records and whatever. They're fast leaving the paperwork, and they're going to the Antichrist system of computer, which is numerical order. But nevertheless, I still believe in the alphabets. The characters of the alphabets, the ABCs, that forms letters and printed words. And someone would say, well, why? Because the Bible said He's Alpha and Omega. Amen. So I believe in it. All right, let's sing a little course together. I don't thoroughly go through these things to the extent of the detail that I would like to use, because I don't have the time, as to your patience and as to your listening. But I do go through them enough that they should not be confusing to you, and that ye should have a good understanding. For the Bible said, all them that are of God hath a good understanding, but the wicked will not understand. They don't have a good understanding. So I do put enough of this forth to where you that hear it, or even the tapes that they record, have enough on it as to reference or going back to them that you can understand. And when you come to these diversities of conversation or people talking with you, that you can just explain. Or take a tape to keep at home for reference, and then listen at it if somebody crosses you. Understand it, go right back and help straighten them out. Because they might be, it could be that it might be an honest person that really don't understand, that have their own conviction, has been brought up in Pentecost or whatever, or some of the other things like Catholicism, and they don't understand until you open their eyes. As the priest that I talked to down here, he did not understand. He defied me. He come against me. He crossed me. But when I proved that he didn't have any Bible, and that I did have the Bible, he was ready to be baptized. And instead of me condemning the Catholic Church, he condemned the whole thing himself and went out to dispute with them. I wonder how many of you now can tell me what a cult is. What is a cult? All of them fellers out yonder and people that put their foot in their mouth, as we say, when they called us a cult. If they had not been ignorant, they would have never said that to begin with, and this is the only thing that's not a cult. Anything that is not the Word of God is a cult. It doesn't matter whether they're chartered with the United States government or whether there are some big religious organizations that's got dozens of overseers and millions of dollars for headquarters. It's just still a cult and a practice in the earth that is stolen from the people of God and robbed the people of God and imprisoned the people of God, and God is sending forth deliverers to bring them out of them prisons and let them know they are cult and those people are thieves and robbers. And that this is the truth. This is the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody said, but I believe in the Father. Well, that's fine, but that don't mean you got the Son. Somebody said, well, I believe in the Son. Well, the Bible said, if you do, you have the Father also. Someone would then say, Brother Pike, why is it that you say, or the Scripture says, that to say that we have the Father, we have not the Son, that does not mean that we have the Son. But to say that we have the Son, if we do have the Son, then there's no way but what we would have the Father. For he that hath the Son hath the Father also. The simple reason is because there's no approach unto the Father except by the name. God is a Spirit. You cannot say that you have the Father unless you first get the Son and go through the name. For before Calvary, they did not have the Father. Though God was among them, but they did not have the Father. But when the Son came and He gave His life, then through the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem, salvation is preached. And every person can come to the Father by the Son of God, and cannot except through the Son of God. So then, to have the Son is to have the Father, for He is the door. But to say that you have the Father and to deny the Son, there is no such thing. Someone would say, well, I believe in the Son, Brother Pike. If you believe in the Son, then that means that you believe in Jesus. If you do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you do not believe in the Son, because that is the name of His only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, there's one way to God. There is one, just one way to God. There is one, only one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. There is one, just one Holy Ghost. There is one Holy Ghost. There is one, just one Holy Ghost. And He comes to us in Jesus' name. Oh, there's one, ain't but one way to God. There's one, just one way to God. There's one, ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, there's one, Heavenly Father unto us. Just one, Heavenly Father unto us. One, Heavenly Father unto us. Jesus came in His Father's name. There is one, only one way to God. One. Jesus said, Father, I've kept them in Thy name. One ain't but one way to God. Baptized the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's one ain't but one way to God. One ain't but one way to God. One ain't but one way to God. Baptized, can you sing it one more time? There is one, there ain't but one way to God. One ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. For all over the world, everyone would take that outlook and sing unto God, Jesus, the door to heaven, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Remission shall be preached in His name. To repent of your sins, to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and your children, and to as many as be afar off, as to the Catholics, as to the Pentecostals, as to the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, the UPC, as to the Christian Alliance, as to the Church of Christ, as to the Mormons, as to all that be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if it isn't to you, then He didn't call you. For all that them that He called, He said, I prayed for these, Father. I pray for all that You've given me. I do not pray for the world, but I pray that all that You've given me may stand, and none shall be lost except the son of perdition, which means the son of eternal damnation, or the child of hell. So only those that are the children of hell shall be lost, the son of perdition. They come into this world to go into perdition. So we see that It's a wonderful experience with the Lord. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Another time we see tongues. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. The Bible said if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. Let's sing another chorus. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride, sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. The altars are open if you'd like to come. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when, sing it with me, folks.
morning, noon, or night. We'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I really do believe you're getting ready to meet the bride. Groom, maybe. I really believe you are. You know, He is the Word. How do you know? When He comes, He'll be the Word. Isn't it right? The woman at the well said, we know that when Messiah cometh, He'll tell us all things. Now, here's what I feel. And I understand. If He is the Word, then He's going to be looking for a lady that knows the Word. Don't you think so? Abraham, God said, shall I hide anything from Abraham, seeing that he's my friend? The Bible said, God will not keep anything back from them that walk upright. Haven't I given you all things that pertain unto life? That's the way you're going to know the bride. She's going to understand. She's going to get the Word. Because that's what He is. And to be one with Him, she has to be the Word. For a woman is one with her husband. Can you sing that again? We won't be stumbling at the Word. We'll know the Word. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Or be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom. Sing it again with me now. We'll be ready when the bridegroom. Morning.